And today's message was inspired by our recent Journey to Bethlehem, a Christmas production. What a blessing to have over 700 people come through over two evenings and see what the real reason we celebrate Christmas. What a blessing it was for our church, what a blessing it was for our community. And thank you once again. I can see some actors and actresses out in the congregation. But thank you for bringing your best and being tools, as Scott would say, to bring glory to his kingdom. This week, as I reflected at how God is truly at work in our congregation, it brought me to the real reason we share the love of Jesus, and that our hearts for the lost, and more importantly, our desire to have Jesus's desire to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. One of the clearest threads that runs through the entire Bible, if you look from Genesis to Revelation, is God's heart for people. Yes, us. Not just the good people, not just the religious people, not just the people who supposedly have it together, but for the lost, the broken, the wandering, the searching, the rebellious, like I was, the forgotten, and yes, the hurting. If you want to understand the heart of God, you must understand God's heart for the lost. This includes those who appear to have been blessed abundantly and seem like they have it all together. Those people may have gaping holes in their heart that a plow truck can't fill. They may have anguish that only Jesus can fill. So let's go to the next slide. So my opening scripture that kind of guided my study this week was Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Read that again. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's not to condemn the lost. That's not to avoid the lost. And it's not to judge a lost, but is to seek and save. So today, in today's message, I want to talk to you about cultivating that same heart, a Christ-shaped love that moves us towards the lost with compassion, boldness, and yes, urgency. Before I get into today's message, please join me in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we can gather to praise and worship you on this cold, snowy day. But on this day, we realize for some, it may be a blue Christmas. I think of the recent passing of Donna Seaman and the empty earthly chair at their table this Christmas. We are praying for Dick and the entire Seaman family and ask that you comfort them and guide them during this time. Yes, we rejoice that she is fully restored in glory and in heaven. But we also give thanks for her love of others, not giving up on them, even though they rebelled. Donna's ability to see non-believers as God sees them, opening her home and showing true compassion, helped people get focused on what really matters, which is a personal relationship with you. Prince of Peace, May we receive what we really need this Christmas, your peace. A peace not like what this world gives, but in what you provide. Fill us. Fill this church with that peace today, Lord, as we in turn extend it to all we meet. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So getting into today's message, it ended up being a study. I have no idea how far I'm going to get into this, but I'll give it a try. So my point one is God's heart has always been for the lost. So if you start in Genesis 3 in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid. They were afraid. They were ashamed. But God did not wait for them to come to him. God pursued them. He walked in the garden calling, "Where are you? Where are you?" This is not the voice of an angry judge searching for a criminal. It is the voice of a loving father searching for his children. So continuing on in the prophets, if we look at Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of the clouds and darkness." If you look at this, God says, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." This is God's heart, searching, pursuing, and rescuing. And if we go to the next slide, in Jesus, there's so much to look at, but in Luke 15, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son reveal heaven's heartbeat. A shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one. A woman who sweeps the house until the lost coin is found. And even a father who runs to embrace a lost son. All these stories are in the Bible. But the big thing is, heaven rejoices not when the righteous gather, but when the lost return. Think about that. This is the heart God wants to put inside each and every one of us. So point two, Jesus felt compassion for the lost. If we look at Matthew 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus didn't just see crowds. Jesus saw souls. He didn't just see sinners. He saw sons and daughters meant to be reunited with God. He did not see rebellion. He saw brokenness. So compassion is the fuel of evangelism. We often don't reach the lost because we don't see the lost. We're busy. We assume somebody else will do it or another church will reach them. Others may be afraid of rejection. We don't want to be uncomfortable. For some of us, we don't want to get off the couch. This includes people who may not look like you, may not dress like you, may not live in the same community you live in. And actually, sometimes we unintentionally exclude others in our local community by limiting God's potential. Maybe sometimes it's thinking like, well, we're just a small country church and let the other big churches around us do it. But Jesus shows that compassion, true Christ-like compassion, overcomes fear, it overcomes inconvenience, it actually overcomes our limiting scope our limiting scope of what Christ Jesus can do in our comfort. And for some, if we lack compassion, we need to ask God to give it. Compassion is not developed by guilt. It's developed by walking closer to God. The closer you grow and walk closer to Jesus, the more you sense and feel what Jesus feels. So let's go to point three. Having a heart for the lost means seeing people through God's eyes. And I know I don't have time, but I'll just mention three stories. Jesus saw Zacchaeus not as a corrupt tax collector, but as a future disciple. Everybody else avoided the tax collector. What did Jesus do? He went straight towards us, and salvation entered his home. Jesus also saw the Samaritan woman not as an outcast, but as a future evangelist. She came to the well ashamed and alone. But after meeting Jesus, she ran back and brought the whole town to her, to Jesus. And finally, Jesus saw the thief on the cross not as a criminal, but as soon-to-be citizen of paradise. Jesus specialized in seeing the lost with love. And if we want his heart, we must learn to see like Jesus sees. Let's go to Matthew 4, my favorite verse as I think about this. Jesus says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. So Stutzenville Chapel, have you been preparing and casting your lines? Are you out there fishing in a small pond for rock bass? When Lake Michigan is full of lake trout and salmon? Sometimes we have to evaluate our approaches and what type of equipment it takes to actually catch fish. This is entirely different and extremely important message if we are to fulfill our Great Commission. As I've said before, if there are people and families in our area who do not know Jesus and do not yet have a church home, they are welcome here. Yes, that includes people not only from Stutzenville. It includes people from Birchwood, Harbor Springs, Pelston, Levering, Goodhart, and even Weequee. Think about it. They need Christ just as much as you and I do. Think about that. While people, you may think they have been blessed abundantly, they could have an anguish in their heart. They need the love of Jesus. And I would love to have more dialogue and possible ways that this church family can be more inviting, more relatable, and yes, more approachable. So more to come on that subject. Getting back to my message. Compassion without action is not a heart for the lost. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions or truth." It means praying for the lost. It means being willing to go. And if we think about that, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples." He said, go, not stay, not wait, not procrastinate. He said, go. Go means walking across the room. Go means picking up the phone. Maybe it's sending them a text. Maybe it's sending them a card. Maybe it's inviting somebody to church or even starting a conversation. it also means willing to speak. As you know, you don't have to be a pastor to share the gospel. Look, I'm up here. What you need to do is to be available, available. The gospel isn't about a perfect presentation, or I wouldn't be here. It's about a perfect Savior. And what's more important, we all have a story to tell, and a compelling story to tell. Point five. Having a heart for the lost means living like Jesus is in front of them. Your love can open doors your arguments never will. The world needs to see the gospel. How do they see the gospel? Through our actions before they understand. And as I said before, your story matters. You don't need to have a dramatic testimony to teach people. Just be honest about what Jesus has done in your life. Authenticity touches hearts. Point six, the urgency of reaching the lost. We must feel the urgency Jesus felt. Why? We must have a heart for the lost. Why does this matter so deeply? Because eternity is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And people matter more to God than anything else. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because they were lost and they didn't recognize the time of God's visitation. So I ask you, Stutzville Chapel, do I still weep for the lost? Do I even care? Do we even care? Does our heart break for what breaks God's heart? We must feel the urgency that Jesus felt. There are people we see every day, every week, leaving church today, at the store, at school, at work, who need hope, who need healing. They need forgiveness. And most of all, they need salvation. You, yes, you. You may be the only Christian they see in their lives. You, through your actions, may be the only Bible they see at this time. Time is not guaranteed. Today is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Point seven. The Holy Spirit empowers our hearts for the lost. If we look at Acts 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Our heart for the lost is not something we do with our own strength. It is something that we do with the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And that Holy Spirit will give us boldness. It'll give us courage. It'll open doors for us. It'll prepare hearts for us. It'll guide our conversations. And yes, it will convict souls. We are the vessels. Think about this. We are the vessels, or as Scott says, we are the tools, and he is the power. So as you probably know how my engineering mind goes, I kind of lay out the stuff and I write it out and I try to find bullet points and points of action. And I know it may be kind of hard to follow some of this in this time frame. This was actually set up to be two lessons, and I kind of parsed it together. So if you want to study more, we're going to put these study slides out on Facebook or have more dialogue. But I thought with this Christmas season, a topic such as this, I wanted to get through kind of these bullet points, but more importantly, to give you something to pray about, to consider this week, and more importantly, study. So I'm always looking at, how do I get things done? What are the practical ways of doing this? You know, when I'm working on cars or working on snowmobiles or building crazy stuff, I have a whole list of things that I have to do. But how do I cultivate a heart for the lost? Well, it starts with praying daily for at least one lost person by name. Now, my wife's not going to like me mentioning, but she is a perfect example that has names of people and just every day goes down through these names of praying for people, not only on her bulletin, but praying special prayers every day by name for these people. So whatever it takes, whether it's a journal, putting it on your mirror, pray for these people daily. Ask the Holy Spirit for divine appointments, to open doors, to guide you. He will lead you if you're willing. Prepare seeing people through God's eyes. Before reacting to someone's attitude, ask, what pain may they be going through? What story do they have that I do not know? Be intentionally kind. Kindness opens hearts. Share your story of how you got to your relationship with Jesus. Not a sermon, but your story, your testimony is powerful and it's relatable. I think about people who have come up and shared their story. Hear how much has touched me. And share what Jesus has done for you in your life. Invite somebody to church, to coffee. For me, it's maybe snowmobiling. When I go out and I'm in the UP, when we gather, we always pray for every ride. You know what? People are watching. People are saying, I'm praying not only for our safety, but for their safety as well, that they can see God's glory and God's kingdom. Pray together. It's contagious. And yes, for some we have to be patient. God is still writing their story. I think about how Donna was so patient with me. I was so rebellious. I was doing things my way. She didn't have to say much, but she was that guiding. You knew her love. You could see Jesus working in her life. And to have that motherly touch without condemning you or without criticizing you, you knew when you were going astray and what it took to get on the right path. So in conclusion, God wants to share his heart with you. God's heart for the lost isn't something we just admire. It's something we receive. He wants to put his love inside your heart. He wants you to feel what he feels, to see what he sees, and to love whom he loves. And God's love is powerful. It can soften the hardest heart. God's love can heal the deepest wounds. If you have not yet invited Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do this today. If you'd like, one of our church leaders would like to pray for you. So my final slide. kind of a congregational challenge. Ask yourself, who is the one God is calling me to love? Who's the one that God is calling me to pray for? Who's the one God wants me to reach? Because Jesus left the 99 to find the one. And he may be sending each one of you to go find your one. Please join me in the closing prayer. Lord, give us your eyes, your compassion, yes, your boldness. Break our hearts for the lost and empower each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit to reach them with your love. Use us and, yes, this church to bring people home to you. Give me the courage to evaluate what changes or enhancements may be appropriate to make your church family more approachable, more inviting, and more relatable. Help each one of us realize this is your church in Stutzensville, and not to limit your power and greatness to reach people in our community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.